Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. We're so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church. In this sermon, we see Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. As we continue to work through a series of sermons of Jesus, the resurrected Savior King, we began with Palm Sunday, Jesus marching into Jerusalem on a donkey, and now we've moved to the point where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, promises a helper, a comforter, to be with his believers, his disciples, and we should be resting and knowing that we have a helper in the Holy Spirit. Thanks for listening to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a blessed week. Today we're going to be seeing how Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. For the last couple of weeks, we've been working through an Easter series of sermons, seeing that Jesus is the resurrected King, the King that will be resurrected. 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus march into Jerusalem on a donkey, the triumphal entry. Last week, we saw that Jesus is the Savior that is to die on the cross. And this week, we're going to see that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And so you kind of get this idea that the disciples are beginning to get concerned, ain't they? Jesus has told them over and over, multiple times, that he is going to soon go to a cross, he's going to soon die, soon be resurrected, and soon ascend to heaven. And Jesus is now going to promise them the Holy Spirit. So with that, let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. I have four different passages between John 14, John 15, and maybe and John 16. So four different passages we're going to read. So just kind of bear with me as we read through these four different passages. But every passage is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will be coming. So let's begin reading in John chapter 14, verse 15. And if you can, follow along in your Bible. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And this helper is the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then John chapter 14, verses 26 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Then we skip down to John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. If you have your bulletin, you can kind of follow along with what verses are next. But in verse 26 of John chapter 15, Jesus says this, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." In our longest passage, John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15, Jesus says this, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." In verse 14, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." All the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. We thank you so much for your gospel, Lord, and that we can come to you just as we are, as we just sung, Lord. God, we thank you so much for Jesus and him dying on the cross for our sins, Lord, so we can have salvation in his name. God, we thank you for this season that we're in of Easter and how soon we will see that Jesus will be resurrected. He will overcome sin and overcome death. Help us to remember those things all the days of our lives, Lord. God, today as we see the promise of the Holy Spirit, help us to more understand what the Holy Spirit's role is in our life, Lord. Understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit and why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. God, I just pray this morning that you will help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion this morning, Lord. That I preach your word and your word only. God, I pray that you help us to clear our minds and focus on you this morning. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is leaving. Jesus will soon be leaving. He's going to be arrested. He will be crucified on a cross. He will be buried in a tomb. He will be resurrected, and he will then ascend to heaven. Jesus is leaving. And once Jesus does that, what will be here with the disciples? What will be here to help them? For the last few years, Jesus has been here the whole time with them. He's been with the disciples, teaching them, training them, guiding them, helping them through their lives. Jesus was literally dwelling here on earth with them. But soon, Jesus will not be here on earth. Jesus will soon depart and go to heaven. And the disciples are beginning to feel a bit uncomfortable. Just as all of us would begin to feel a bit uncomfortable when this person we followed for the last 3 years of our life and have dedicated everything to would begin to feel uncomfortable knowing that he's about to leave. Jesus has told them multiple times and the disciples are becoming fearful. So Jesus does something. He promises the Holy Spirit. He promises them the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be there to be a helper to them. Some translations, I believe, says a comforter to them. And so we actually see this Holy Spirit come down to earth in the book of Acts, especially in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus had ascended to heaven, how the Holy Spirit came in rushing like a violent wind, and it began to fill all those who had believed in Jesus. But why? Why is the Holy Spirit so important? Why did Jesus decide that the Holy Spirit was what the disciples needed? What we ourselves as disciples of Jesus even need today? What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Today we're going to answer some of those questions as we explore why Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples. The Holy Spirit, in case you don't know, just to make sure we're all on the same track here, the Holy Spirit is God, correct? Right? We believe in a triune God. God is one in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God is 100% all of those. He's not just a part this, a part that, or a part that. He is 100% all three of those. So before we jump into this sermon, it's crucial that we understand that the Holy Spirit is God. So for us who are believers, who are disciples of Jesus, when we soon talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, it's really God who is dwelling inside of us. And he is here to help us, to be our helper, to be our comforter. So therefore, from these passages that we just read today, there's going to be five reasons Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Five reasons why Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. The first reason is Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to dwell within them, to dwell within us. The Holy Spirit is promised to dwell within disciples of Jesus. I want to clarify that us. To dwell within disciples of Jesus. Read John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17 again. It says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then verse 15, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you." What's that word there? Forever. And then in verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. You, a disciple of Jesus, know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you." Two things on the Holy Spirit dwelling with the disciples. First, the Holy Spirit can only dwell within those who truly know Jesus. Who truly know Jesus. Those who are believers. Those who are disciples of Jesus. Those who are followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit only comes to those who are true Jesus' disciples. True Jesus followers. Notice how Jesus says, those who are of the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. They cannot receive the Spirit of truth because they are of the world. Because they have not repented of their sin and believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They have not responded to the gospel of Jesus. And as long as these people are not keeping the commandments of God, as long as these people in the world are not loving Jesus, they will never receive the Holy Spirit. However, if one does keep the commandments of God, if one does love God, if one does believe and becomes a Jesus follower, if one does become a disciple of Jesus, a true disciple, then they will receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and dwell within them. Dwell within him, as Jesus says. The word dwell here is a major word in this passage. If you really begin to look at it, the Holy Spirit will dwell within you. And this is drastically different than the Old Testament, isn't it? In the Old Testament, we never see God or the Holy Spirit dwelling within somebody. We never see that. We never have that picture of the Holy Spirit dwelling within somebody. However, we do see that God dwells among His people. Now catch that? He dwells within us in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, He dwells within us. But in the Old Testament, He dwells... I'm getting all tongue-tied here. In the Old Testament, He dwells among them. He did dwell among His people. And where did He do this? Where did God dwell among His people? In the tabernacle. In the tabernacle. And if the people in the Old Testament wanted to go to God, they had to go to the tabernacle. And you had to have a priest go into the tabernacle for you. You couldn't actually go in there yourself. But now the Holy Spirit no longer dwells within the tabernacle and instead dwells within God's people. Those who are disciples of Jesus. The word dwell here literally means that God is tabernacling Himself inside the believer. You think about the Holy Spirit dwelling in the temple, the glory of God dwelling inside the tabernacle. God literally tabernacled among His people, right? For us as believers in the New Testament time, God is literally tabernacling Himself inside of us through the Holy Spirit. He's dwelling inside of us. We no longer need a priest like the Old Testament Israelites did. We no longer need somebody else because we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and we can go to God at any point in our lives, at any moment in our lives. And as the song we sung early, no matter what we are, what we look like, what we think like, how we have lived our lives in recent months, we can still go to God. Because as believers, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And the second thing to understand here, to know, is that the Holy Spirit never leaves us. It dwells within us forever. Jesus says in verse 16, and go back to it one more time, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you For how long? For just a little while? For just a short time? Forever. Forever. The Holy Spirit is going to be our helper forever. He's here to stay in our hearts forever. No matter how much we may sin, no matter how bad we may be, no matter how crooked our ways may be, the Holy Spirit is here to stay. Now, if you're living in sin and living in crooked and evil ways, and you're living in unrepentant sin, then that might be a different story. It could be the Holy Spirit's not inside of you because it's not convicting you of anything. When we live in unrepentant sin, it goes to prove that the Holy Spirit is not in us. But when the Holy Spirit is in us, it's in us forever, and it's going to continually convict us of sin, and we will repent of that sin. But regardless, as believers, true believers, we will never lose the Holy Spirit. I love the way Paul writes it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, Paul says. The point is that the Holy Spirit is here to stay, and it will never leave us. And as believers, we should take heart in that. We should rest in that. We should take comfort in that, knowing that the Holy Spirit is here to dwell in us forever. Forever. The second reason why the Holy Spirit is promised is to teach us. The Holy Spirit is promised to teach us, to teach His disciples, as Jesus says. Now, we cannot forget where we are in this storyline, right? Jesus is soon going to be what? Soon going to be leaving. He will soon die, and He will soon be buried, and soon be resurrected, and soon ascend to heaven. And Jesus knows that the disciples are going to need help, which is why He is sending the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And this Helper will teach them all things and help them remember all that Jesus has said. Look with me at John 14, verse 26. Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Jesus promised the disciples that the Holy Spirit would be there to teach them and to help them remember. But what does that mean for us today? As Christians, we are to discipline ourselves to study God's Word, right? To learning His Word, to learning His truth, and knowing more about God. And this can happen in several different ways, such as attending Sunday school and learning about God from a teacher and God's Word from a Sunday school teacher. It can happen through preaching, for me preaching to you on Sundays. It can happen through different avenues, a small group Bible study, different things like that. But the primary way that this happens is through you sitting down, reading God's Word, and letting the Holy Spirit teach you more about God's Word and His truth. And when we study God's Word, we should always be being taught more about His Word. And the way in which we are taught should come through the Holy Spirit. To understand God's Word, to understand it rightly, requires the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is ultimately what illuminates God's Word to us. It's what teaches us His Word. To help you better understand what I'm trying to say here is, whenever I'm beginning to prepare a sermon or beginning to prepare a lesson to teach or beginning to study a passage of God's Word, one thing I do is I always just ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures to me, to help me understand by illuminating God's Word. Now, what happens when you illuminate something? When you take a flashlight and you light up something, what happens? You're able to what? Able to see it. Oftentimes, whenever I drop a small screw on the floor and I'm struggling to find it, I will grab a flashlight and I'll begin shining the flashlight, sometimes even lay it on the floor and twist it around, because that flashlight will soon reflect off of that little bitty screw. And if it's a shiny screw and not a rusty screw, it's going to reflect that light. It's going to illuminate that screw and I can find it, correct? So when we read God's Word, we should ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word. Because the Holy Spirit's like a flashlight to us. It shows us, it teaches us what God's Word has to say to us. And through this illumination of Scripture, we are being taught God's Word. So if you ever find yourselves reading Scripture, and maybe you're struggling to understand it, nothing is sticking out to you, or you're not fully grasping it all, take a moment and just pray to the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scripture to you. To just illuminate God's Word to you. So often, I think we try to figure it out ourselves, don't we? We try to understand it ourselves. And when we begin trying to understand it ourselves, what happens? We begin to input our thoughts into it, don't we? But it's not our thoughts that we should go into it. It's God's thoughts being illuminated to us through His Word. Through His Word. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Reason number three, why Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, is to bear witness of Jesus. If you look at John chapter 15, verse 26 through 27, Jesus says this, "But when the Helper, when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me." Who's He bearing witness about? About Jesus. In verse 27, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning." While here on earth, Jesus was entirely able to bear witness about Himself, wasn't He? He was able to walk around. He was able to tell people that I am the Messiah. That He was able to preach the kingdom come. He was able to preach repentance to those around Him. He was able to bear witness of Himself. And He did this in many ways, such as performing signs and miracles and preaching repentance. If you think about the Old Testament, for example, the prophets, the law, all of the Old Testament bears witness of who? Jesus, right? The whole Old Testament points forward to Jesus. And so Jesus would then bear witness of Himself, and then who's going to bear witness of Jesus afterwards? The Holy Spirit will. The Holy Spirit will be the one who bears witness of Jesus. And that will happen through individuals proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to people around them. It's why in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says that Jesus declares that the system... My goodness. I need some water or something. I think I'm okay, though. I'll be fine. It's why in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says to the disciples that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they will be witnesses to where? To the remotest parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit wants to bear witness of Jesus. And since the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, who then is the ones that tell of Jesus? We do. We as individuals do. We see this in Matthew chapter 28 where Jesus says, "Go into all nations, teaching them of the gospel, proclaiming the gospel." And so often we as people, we as believers tend to have this tendency where we want to suppress what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants to bear witness of Jesus. And sometimes we suppress that. The Holy Spirit inclines us to do and to be bold and bear witness of Jesus. And we should not suppress that. Have you ever done that before? Where you've felt convicted or something, you know, you felt like the Lord was kind of telling you to share the gospel with somebody, or to talk about Jesus with them, to tell them what God has done in your life, and you kind of shied away from it. You said, "Yeah, I'm kind of nervous, kind of scared, and I don't know about this." Be honest with you, I've done it myself. But the Holy Spirit is inside of us, nudging us along to proclaim the gospel to others. And we must not suppress it. We must not hold back the Holy Spirit from bearing witness of Jesus. And those times whenever we have that fear and we have that nervousness and we are scared and afraid that we're going to say something wrong, we have to remember who's inside of us. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. The Holy Spirit is here to bear witness through us. Instead, we should go along with it and let Him bear witness through us. The fourth reason. Thank you, Ashton. The fourth reason that we see, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit is to convict the world. To convict the world. And this is something important for all of us to remember, isn't it? We just learned that the Holy Spirit bears witness, and now we are learning that the Holy Spirit convicts the world. And the reason this is so important is because we can't convict anybody. Can we? Can we point out sins to others? Can we tell someone that they are a thief and they've been stealing? Yeah, we can tell them, right? But does that convict them? No, it doesn't. But the Holy Spirit is what convicts people. And when it comes to bearing witness of Jesus, proclaiming the gospel, it is not us who convicts people. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts people and brings people to Jesus. We see in John chapter 16, verse 11, 8 through 11 this. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see Me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I think that might be the first time I've ever took a sip of water from the pulpit. But these three things are what the Holy Spirit will convict the world of. Now, what does this all mean? Because this is slightly complicated, isn't it? Slightly confusing just a little bit. But here's what it means. Sin is sin. And unrepentant sin proves that one doesn't believe in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will convict people of sin so that they can come to faith in Jesus Christ. So they can believe in Jesus Christ. Which is why I go back here. First 8 or verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. If you remember, sin separates us from God, right? But through Jesus and us believing in Him, all those sins are removed from us, and Jesus' blood covers us, and therefore God then is able to have a relationship with us because He sees Jesus, not sin. The next two words, righteousness and judgment, can be a little bit more confusing. So we should read it kind of a little bit more like this. Concerning righteousness. So instead of saying concerning righteousness, think of it concerning false righteousness. Containing self-righteousness. The world believes that they are righteous people, don't we? Don't they? They believe that they are self-righteous, that they can get to where they want to go on their own. They believe that they are good enough. That they can get to heaven on their own power because they've been righteous enough. But Jesus says here that the Holy Spirit will convict them of their false righteousness and point them to Jesus and the only true righteous one. We are all not righteous. All the world is not righteous. And the only way that people can come to Jesus, can go to heaven, is to be righteous, not by our own selves, but by Jesus and Him alone. We ultimately see that Jesus is the only righteous one, because He will soon, as it says here, because I go to the Father, and you will see Me no longer. If sin separates us from the Father, then that means that Jesus, if He's able to go to the Father, what does that mean? That Jesus was righteous. That He was righteous. And so the world at the time was convicting and saying, hey, Jesus is not righteous. So therefore, until the world understands that they are sinners and they will not be able to become righteous through Jesus. And then we go to the next verse here concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You think about this judgment that's happening, and this judgment is happening upon Jesus, right? The judgment that was upon Jesus is what put Jesus on what? The cross, right? But the judgment they had was that Jesus was wrong, and that Jesus was that Jesus wasn't doing the right thing. But the world had a false judgment of who Jesus was. They had a wrong judgment of what Jesus was doing there. And so Jesus would eventually die on the cross. And so the Holy Spirit will eventually convict, or the Holy Spirit can convict and will convict them of their wrong judgment of Jesus. Just as He convicts people even today of their wrong judgment of who Jesus is. And it will show them that the ruler of this world, who is that? Satan, right? Is already judged. You think about the end times, right? And you know, the end, if we get to the end of Revelation, who is victorious? Jesus, right? Jesus is the one victorious. He's the one that's going to win. The battle has already been won. And the reason why? Because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can convict the world. We can't convict our friends. We can't convict our co-workers. We can't convict our family, our neighbors. But you know who can? The Holy Spirit can. So if you ever find yourself wanting to share the gospel, or you find yourself doing your best to try to convict somebody, stop trying to convict them and then begin to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them. Because that's who does the convicting. Reason number 5. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to guide His disciples into all truth. If you read verse 13 of John chapter 16, Jesus says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come." Now don't forget, Jesus is still talking directly to the disciples. And don't forget that just in a little while, Jesus' arrest, death, burial, and resurrection is going to happen. And the Holy Spirit has already been promised to come only after the ascension of Jesus. Therefore, what exactly is this truth that Jesus is speaking of here? Speaking of that the Holy Spirit is going to guide them to. The Holy Spirit is ultimately going to guide them to understanding the purpose of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Because at this point, it hasn't happened yet. But after it happens, and we see the Holy Spirit come down, we see the disciples begin to fully understand why Jesus had to die on the cross, why Jesus had to be buried, and why Jesus had to be resurrected. And it's because the Holy Spirit is guiding them to the truth. It's why Jesus says that the Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come. The reality is, the truth of Jesus is God's Word. Jesus threads every single page of the Bible. And we should all be guided to His truth with the Holy Spirit. Look to the Holy Spirit to guide you in the truth of God's Word, because that when we know the truth, we will live out the truth, and as this verse says, we will glorify God. Or excuse me, not this verse, but the following verses. It says that we will glorify God. In our sermon today, we've seen 5 reasons Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. The first reason was that the Holy Spirit will dwell within us forever. If it never leave us, it will always be residing inside of us as long as we are true believers, true followers of Jesus. The secondly, we see that the Holy Spirit will teach us. It will teach us God's Word. It will teach us His truth. It illuminates the Word of God to us so we can understand it and know more of God's Word. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit bears witness through us, bears witness of Jesus through us. We must not suppress the Holy Spirit when we are convicted to share the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This world has a false view of righteousness and true righteousness can only come through Jesus. This world is falsely judging Jesus, but little do they know the ruler of the world, Satan, has already been condemned, already been judged. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. We should look to the Holy Spirit to lead us to the truths of God's Word and even guide us throughout our lives. Have you been trusting the Holy Spirit in your life lately? Are you letting the Holy Spirit lead you through life? Is the Holy Spirit teaching you God's Word, illuminating God's Word to you? Or are you trying to do it on your own? Are you suppressing the Holy Spirit when it wants to bear witness of Jesus? Or are you proclaiming the gospel when He prods you along to speak of Jesus? Are you trying to convict your family, your friends, co-workers of Jesus? Or are you praying for the Holy Spirit to convict them? Are you letting the Holy Spirit guide you to the truths of God's Word and through your own life? Church, I want to encourage you, as Galatians teaches us, to walk by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And when we walk by the Spirit and when we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will teach us. The Holy Spirit will bear witness through us, and the Holy Spirit will guide us. And maybe you're here today and you're hearing this sermon and you're wondering if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Because the reality is you can't walk or be led by the Spirit unless the Spirit dwells within you. Friend, the only way for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you is for you to be convicted of your sin, convicted of your self-righteousness, convicted of your false judgment of who Jesus is, and repenting of all of those things and believing in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And the moment you respond to this conviction and believe in Jesus and call upon His name, you will be saved. And the Holy Spirit will begin to dwell inside of you. Friend, God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you and your sins so that you can have life. And all you have to do is recognize you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Believe in the works of Jesus, and you will be saved. If that is you today, during this time of invitation, if you feel the Lord drawing you to Himself, calling you to Himself, I want you to respond by believing in Jesus and trusting Him as Savior and Lord of your life. And if this is a decision you're making today, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you about what has happened in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You so much for Your mercy, Lord. We thank You for the promised Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit dwells within us, Lord. That the Holy Spirit is here within us and we can come to You at any point in our lives, Lord. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is here to teach us, to convict us, to bear witness of us, Lord, and to guide us. Help us to remember the purpose of the Holy Spirit and what it means for us, Lord. Help us to rest and find comfort in knowing that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. God, we thank You so much for Jesus and His gospel. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.